read the piece by Dar Jamal on it. He had a really good piece on, like, he talked about everything that he saw in Fallujah and Al Qaim, of the bombing of hospitals, of the bombing of highways, of all of it, and that he was like, and you see the same exact thing, look at what's going on in Lebanon, look at what's going on in Gaza. They bombed a power station, it cut power to 700,000 people in Gaza by doing that. They bombed the Beirut airport and shut it down. You know, it's like, they're targeting civilians. That's the exact same thing you saw in Iraq. So I just think it all becomes, yeah, like connect the dots. It's not that hard to.
There's this mentality that Americans, Israelis are superior to Iraqis.
Yeah, like, well, it's the anti-Arab racism.
Yeah.
Stop the bombing, stop the war! Stop the bombing, stop the war!
1, 2, 3, 4!
Stop the bombing, stop the war!
Stop the bombing, stop the war! Stop the bombing, stop the war!
Stop the bombing, stop the war!
From Iraq to Palestine,
occupation is a crime!
From Iraq to Palestine, occupation is a crime!
From Beirut to Palestine,
occupation is a crime!
From Beirut to Palestine,
occupation is a crime!
From Beirut to Palestine,
occupation is a crime!
From Beirut to Palestine,
occupation is a crime!
From Beirut to Palestine,
occupation is a crime!
From Beirut to Palestine, occupation is a crime!
Occupation is a crime!
We say no way!
They say no way!
We say no way!
We say no way!
We say no way!
We say no way!
They say bombs away!
We say no way!
We say no way!
They say bombs away!
We say no way!
No way!
No way!
No way!
No way!
No more money for Israel's crimes!
Not another nickel!
No more money for Israel's crimes!
Would you like to say something about what's going on?
Palestine will be free.
Oh, this is delightful over here. Yeah, what, in your question.
Okay, how are you feeling about the current situation, the Israeli bombing of Beirut?
Well, it's very distressing, and that's just a mild term. I wish I could find where I'm almost distraught over it because there's so much killing, dying on both sides, but especially the people of Lebanon who are innocent in all of this. And for our United States to take a position of just giving Israel the green light to go in and bomb the entire infrastructure of Lebanon. Lebanon's just getting on its feet in the last decade, from their own civil war and problems with the Israelis back in the 1980s and from 78 on, in fact. And so it's so sad. And a military solution is not the answer. It just won't work. It has to be diplomacy. And it boils down to, not only for Lebanon and Hezbollah, it boils down to what's happening in Gaza with the Hamas and Israel. What, over 1.5 million at least Palestinians in Gaza are without electricity, which means they're without refrigeration, they're without water, they're without sewage treatment, without the bare necessities of living in temperatures that always go in the summertime over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. I've been there many times, and the life at its best there is terrible. And then to be reduced to this kind of subhuman level is unconscionable. And for the world, especially the United States, to allow this to continue to happen just shows that the bankruptcy of our, I think, of our own government, and I also blame the European Union people for not doing more. So it all boils down to the Palestinian-Israeli issue has to be resolved. There would not be a Hamas, there would not be a Hezbollah, were it not for the occupation of the Palestinians, the West Bank and Gaza, and in the Golan Heights, which is the interest, of course, that Syria would have in this. So diplomacy is the only way. And you don't, as many people have said, you don't talk to your friends to make peace, you talk with your enemies. Sooner or later, the United States, Israel, and all of them have to talk with Hamas, the elected leadership, who are incidentally taken and put in prison by the Israelis. They have no right to do that. And they will have to talk. So otherwise, we'll have an outbreak of this kind of violence. And it will get more and more serious as time goes on, as we see now. The Hezbollah has drones, I guess that's what they call them, the unmanned airplane. And so they have those, much more sophisticated. They've got more sophisticated weaponry, weapons that can be fired a long distance, missiles and rockets. And as time goes on, there may be even nuclear. And you know, if we really want peace in that area, we must treat the situation and the people even-handedly. There has to be negotiations. There is not a military solution. That is has to be very clear. So I'm proud to participate with this group. We're protesting. You can hear them in the background. They're protesting against the invasion of Lebanon and the overkill, the disproportionate killing and dismantling of all of the infrastructure of Lebanon, the airport, the bridges, the roads, the oil refineries, their storage tanks, and you can go on and on. And it's a collective punishment at its worst. So,
why do you suppose the Israelis did not want to talk about a prisoner exchange? After all, Israel has over 9,000 Palestinian men, women, and children in prison right now, most of them for no crimes at all except for just being Palestinian.
That's correct.
Why wouldn't Israel just negotiate?
Well, I don't know. I'm not an Israeli, but it would seem to me that one reason would be that to exchange the women and children is what the Hamas originally asked for in exchange for the soldier or soldiers that were captured in Gaza or over the line from Gaza, I believe. And so they mean to release the women and children would admit that they have no right to have children in prison in the first place. I don't know if that's one reason. But there are thousands of Palestinians who are in prison, who have never been charged with anything, and they've never, they're just serving time, and they don't know for what reason. They've never seen any evidence produced against them. So there are all kinds of violations of the Geneva Conventions regarding prisoners. Why Israel doesn't want to exchange, I think it's because they wanted really, that was a pretext for getting into Lebanon and going back into Gaza. And what they think they're going to do is, if they do enough destruction on the civilian population of both Lebanon and of Gaza, that then the people will turn against in Gaza Hamas, and in Lebanon they'll turn against Hezbollah. I don't think that's going to happen. Hasn't happened in the past when they've tried this kind of thing. They've had the experience of trying to do that in the 1980s and 1982. They went into Lebanon to destroy the PLO, and they didn't. They couldn't do it. And it comes back to my basic point that it's the occupation. And until that occupation, until Israel leaves the West Bank and Gaza, and eventually they've got to leave the Golan Heights as well, when they've got to deal with Syria on that issue. But until they resolve the issue of the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza, they're going to have a continued violence and escalation, I'm afraid, into more sophisticated forms of violence and more people, innocent civilians, and more children killed, which is a sad thing on both sides. If we really wanted peace, we would approach both parties with an even hand. And the fact that they've isolated Mahmoud Abbas in the Palestinian Authority, and the fact that they've done things unilaterally, just shows it doesn't work. You've got to have two partners, both engaged in any kind of resolution of a conflict situation. You can't just have one party, and in this case, the stronger, militarily stronger party, and the one that has the political clout of the United States backing it. You're not going to have a solution as long as this one party dictates the terms of the so-called peace or peace process. And the Congress, a U.S. Congress, should be held responsible for a lot of this. Yesterday they had a vote on condemning Hezbollah for going for taking the prisoner, the soldier's prisoner in Lebanon. But at the same time, they not only condemned them, but they affirmed again that Israel had a right to protect itself, to destroy the entire infrastructure, particularly the part of the infrastructure that ordinary people need, who have nothing to do with the capture of soldiers or the shooting of weaponry, as going on now in Lebanon and in Gaza, then it's just unconscionable. So it will not gain anything except more heartbreak on both sides. And I think ultimately what Israel wants is the de-Arabization of the whole area. They want to get rid of the Palestinians. I consider this really, I consider it ethnic cleansing. It's another form of ethnic cleansing. Families who have money are going to send their kids abroad to study, and they're going to tell them, don't bother to come home. There's no future for you here. And eventually Israel hopes that they will all get out. But that also is not going to work. But unfortunately, what's happening is the middle class is shrinking already in the West Bank. And the ones on whom one hopes that you could arrive at a peaceful settlement sooner or later. And as the middle class is disappearing, and if that happens, then it's going to be harder, more and more difficult to come to a resolution of the problem. But I'd like to repeat that I've been saying for 30 years, the occupation is the basic problem, and we must return somehow to international law, respect international law, and enforce the security resolution 242 and 194 and 238 that regard Israel's occupation of the West Bank and the return of refugees. We must enforce that, just as they're now trying to enforce Lebanon to disarm, I don't know the exact number, it's 1550-something, I think it is, UN resolution to disarm Hezbollah that the government of Lebanon is supposed to do. We're insisting on that. We're very selective in the enforcement of UN resolutions. And this is where Arabs and Muslims, particularly all over the world, but other people all over Europe, they see how the United States is so selective in when we talk about human rights or when we talk about enforcing various UN resolutions. So occupation is the basic issue. We need to return to the 1967 borders. And
one last question.
Yeah.
A lot of the mainstream press is saying if Hezbollah, if they didn't fire back, there wouldn't be so much bloodshed right now.
Well,
what is your feeling about that?
Well, it's the whole chicken or egg thing. Who did what first? And if you, the thing is that in the mainstream media in the United States, we usually get Israel's reacting to something that the other side, the Palestinians, did, either Hamas or, in the case of Lebanon, that what happened with the Hezbollah. So there, the Israel is always presented in our mainstream media as responding to. In other words, they're only responding to something somebody else did. If only that other party would stop doing what they're doing. Nothing is said about the fact that Israel goes in at any time they please. They go in to either in air raids over Gaza. Now they're doing air raids over Lebanon. And they're violating the airspace of both countries, and then they targeted assassinations over Hamas in Gaza, and so on and so on. So this whole thing of violence, you know, who did what first, and to whom, who is responding to whom? That question is going to go on and on and on, as long as the basic problem that I've said several times here, this interview, that the basic problem of the occupation of Palestinian land. Okay.
Thank you, Miriam. Yeah, okay. What organization are you with?
I'm with Pax Christi Burlington and Vermonters for a Just Peace
Thanks,
in Palestine, so. Israel.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Living room. You know, we are all moving towards a home. She also said, today I become a Palestinian. Some of you know that we have a campaign in Burlington to make Burlington a sanctuary city for all immigrants, all refugees, all asylum seekers, free of the kinds of rhetorical assaults that are happening in Washington, and people who are fleeing the kinds of military assaults that we're seeing in Lebanon. If any of you have not yet seen the petition to make Burlington a sanctuary city and you would like to see it and sign it, I've got one over here. I'd be glad to talk to you. You do not have to be a registered voter or citizen to say that Burlington should be a sanctuary city for all people. And I think especially today, when so many people, more than 500,000 more people, have been turned into homeless refugees, this is an important issue.
Speaking of refugees, let's not forget that there are hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees already in Lebanon. They can't figure out how many newly displaced persons and refugees there are in Lebanon because Israel has bombed all of the bridges on all of the roads. You can't get anywhere in Lebanon now. They've also denied access to all forms of humanitarian aid and medical relief. The refugee problem is 58 years old. And this is a heart of the problem. This is why Hezbollah is so strong.
Did anybody talk about the Foreign Assistance Act and the Arms Export Act? Okay. You have to realize that what we're doing right now is and has been illegal as a felony crime in the United States for the administration. And that has to do with violating two acts. One is called the U.S. Arms Export Act, and one is called the U.S. Foreign Assistance Act. Both of them share the notion that, number one, the arms that the U.S. sells must not be used for offensive purposes, only for self-defense. And number two, the U.S. is not allowed to have any sales to governments that with a pattern of gross human rights violations. It's an easy case to demonstrate that Israel is both of those and that therefore we are in violation of an act that we ourselves have passed. Yesterday, the Senate passed a blatantly illegal resolution. And today, as we speak, the House is going to pass a similar one, and Bernie is going to vote for it. The Senate voted unanimously, that means Jeffords and Leahy voted unanimously for this resolution 534, and I suggest you look at it, you Google that. But I want to read you just a couple of things that Leahy and Jeffords, and today Bernie, will be voting for. So just so you know the kind of thinking that is going on. This resolution is called Condemning Hezbollah and Hamas and their state sponsors and supporting the exercise of Israel's right to self-defense. And it, it says that we, the people of the United States, reaffirm our steadfast support for the state of Israel. We support Israel's right to self-defense and their right to take appropriate action to deter aggression. We urge the president to continue fully supporting Israel as Israel exercises its right of self-defense. We, the people of the United States, call for the immediate and unconditional release of the Israeli soldiers that are being held captive. We, the people of the United States, condemn the governments of Iran and Syria for their continued support of Hezbollah and Hamas, and hold, look at this, and we hold the governments of Syria and Iran responsible for the acts of aggression carried out by Hezbollah. For the acts of aggression carried out by Hezbollah and Hamas. That is a clear invitation for the next step. We condemn Hamas and Hezbollah for exploiting civilian populations by using them as shields and locating their military activities in civilian areas. We call on the Security Council to condemn these unprovoked acts, Hamas and Hezbollah, and we urge all sides, balanced, to protect innocent civilian life and infrastructure. Jeffords and Leahy voted for this S-534 yesterday, and Bernie is voting for, and you should look up today, it's not on the Thomas or any of the websites yet, but what they're going to vote on is House Resolution 921, if you want to see the language, which is clearly going to mirror this. That this is a criminal act on the part of the entire U.S. unanimously voting Senate with respect to the Foreign Assistance Act and the Arms Export Act, and it will be in terms of the House when that votes today.
I have to add to Mark's comments on Hezbollah and Hamas. Before Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, he was addressing a crowd at Tel Aviv, and he apologized for having created Hamas. In other words, we create the best enemy money can buy. So we have to look at who is behind the actual terrorism. They may put a name on the groups, Hezbollah and Hamas, but we know in our own country the CIA, the FBI, has infiltrated peaceful groups, COINTEL projects, and been disruptive, thus giving the peace groups bad names. So I have come to the realization that Hamas and Hezbollah and any other terrorist organization is actually backed by the governments of Israel, the governments of the United States, CIA, MI6, Mossad, just like the BCCI, Bank of Commerce and Credit. That investigation revealed that the CIA was actually funding money through this bank in Pakistan to all these terrorist groups. So, I mean, it's reprehensible that our Congress is voting for terrorism. But look, you have to understand, our Congress is silent on 9/11. What happened on September 11, 2001, that was an inside job. And until we expose the criminality of our own secret government that's co-opted Washington, we're not going to get anywhere. They have to be probably hung up like Mussolini was, quartered, and there will be no refuge for Jeffords and Leahy and Sanders in for retirement in this state. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to talk a little bit about the media over the past couple of days. Like, absolutely shocking, the fact, you know, that they point everything to the fact that, you know, there are a couple Israeli soldiers who are being held captive, and that's what's created all of this mess. Never mind the fact that more than half of the democratically elected government of Palestine, Hamas, is, you know, is being held hostage by the Israelis right now. Never mind the fact that, you know, families picnicking on a beach in Gaza are bombed to death, you know, by just, you know, Israel feels as though they have to do these little routine bombings to make sure that, you know, Hamas militants aren't out in the street gaining support, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think it's absolutely disgusting that the U.S. has taken the points that the brother over there was saying, and the fact that the U.N. has come out and said they want to send UN troops into southern Lebanon to stop Hezbollah's attacks. They don't say anything about, you know, Israel's attacks. If the woman could hold up her sign, you know, 109 people from Gaza dead, 300 plus Lebanese, and then you only have about 30 Israelis, 18 of which are soldiers who have been killed. I think that's a little disproportionate in our media. You know, I think it's rallies like these and independent media that's actually saying what's happening is where people need to get their information. And, you know, don't listen to the crap on NPR, CNN that's saying it's all because of these two soldiers. If only they give them back, then Israel would stop their aggression. There's no way they'll stop the aggression. It took them about 20 years to pull out Gaza the first time they invaded.
You'll hear a lot of disinformation about how this particular war on Lebanon got started. It's important to remember that on Wednesday, July 12th at 9 a.m., Hezbollah captured two soldiers. About midday, after a conference with Japanese Prime Minister Koizumi, Omar called an impromptu press conference with his defense minister, Amir Peretz, right next to him. And he said, this is a war against Lebanon. We hold Lebanon completely responsible for this raid. We will attack Lebanon from top to bottom. Make no mistake, we hold Lebanon, no one else, responsible for this raid. And that was before the Israeli soldiers were killed in a tank before they drove over the mines. That was before the following day, when the Hezbollah rocket attack started into Israel. Israel had already declared war on the state of Lebanon, not Hezbollah. It's very important to remember that, because that means that the crimes that Israel is committing now are even broader and even more amenable to adjudication by the International Court of Justice. This is an interstate war as declared by Israel before Hassan Nasrallah declared war on Israel the day after. You heard the headlines, Hezbollah declares war on Israel. It had already happened. And 2 days after that press conference, Israel started adjusting its tack. And it started talking about how it was attacking Hezbollah. And you heard the pro-Israel machine in this country start to adjust the message. So that yesterday, when I was corrupting my mind listening to National Public Radio, they close their news segment by saying that Israel has been attacking Hezbollah for the last week. Bullshit. Israel has been attacking Lebanon for the past week. Why else would 250 civilians in Lebanon now be dead? 12 Lebanese soldiers. And as far as we know, perhaps no Hezbollah operatives. We have yet to see any hard evidence that Hezbollah operatives have been killed in this war.
They're probably Israelis. You know, the British troops got caught dressed up as Iraqis. British troops got caught dressed up as Iraqis trying to do terrorist actions. What?
And U.S. contractors, too.
Oh, I'm sure of it, yes.
Bombs and detonators.
I think a key thing that this war shows is the attack on the civilian population. And Jamie explained it very well. What we've got is an attack on apartment buildings in Beirut. We've got an attack on bridges, power stations, hospitals, fuel depots, gas stations, airports, roads. We've got an attack on humanitarian aid coming in to Lebanon. This is all being shown on the mass media. This is an attack. Okay, they've killed 215 people, but they're also impoverishing and causing hunger for millions of people. So, and this replicates what they did in the Gaza Strip and in the West, and not as much, but also in the West Bank over the last number of years. In 2003, 3 years ago, the UN was already reporting an enormous amount of malnutrition in the occupied territories. It was so bad in 2003, they said, that 9% of Palestinian children had such severe malnutrition that they had permanent brain damage. That was a UN report in 2003. After that, Israel built the wall, restricting the inflow of aid from the outside, and also running across Palestinian farmland so that 25,000 acres of farmland was removed. And half of the water aquifer of Palestine was removed on the Israeli side. What could that do for malnutrition? The idea must have been to not help the malnutrition problem, but to make it worse. Then, when Hamas was elected, they went further with this embargo on Palestine, and especially on the Gaza Strip, so that we don't have food coming in. We restricted money from coming in. They stopped the tax money, and so on, so that the impoverishment has gone through level after level. And then, of course, now, to add to this attack on the civilian population, the military attack has been going on for the past number of weeks. The idea is not so much, in my view, to attack military forces, but to really crush the civilian population, both in Palestine and in Lebanon. What kind of people are doing this? What do we want to do to stop it?
Yeah, sorry, I was saying. My name is Kathleen. I'm from the International Socialist Organization, and I'm so glad that we have a demonstration here today. People know there's also a demonstration happening simultaneously right now in support of Israel at a local synagogue up on the hill. And I think it's easy to support. It's easy to support what Israel is doing in the United States, which is the biggest funder and backer of Israel, which we have absolutely uncritical media support for Israel and for Israel's war crimes. It's harder to stand up and take a stand for Palestinians. I think what we're doing today is so important because the United Nations has ruled many, many times that Israel's occupation of Palestine is illegal. And so on and so forth. So I think that we need to take a stand for Palestine and for Lebanon and just lay out there the vastly unequal use of force of what Israel is doing. I mean, for one Israeli soldier in Palestine, 100 Palestinians dead in Gaza. For two Israeli soldiers captured in Lebanon, something like 300 Lebanese. Israel's making it clear that Arab lives are worth far less than Israeli lives.
You have to put yourselves in the victim's shoes.
Racist.
I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm a commissioned officer in the United States Army.
No wonder you're so racist. Okay. I think that we have to be clear that we do not accept this racism, that Arabs and Lebanese and Palestinians have a right to their own land, and that they need to take a stand for that. I think we have to It's distracting. We should do a chant. There's a rally up for you up the hill. There's a rally up the hill.
For all the Holocaust supporters.
What's it about blaming the victim?
Free Palestine!
Everybody, there's literature,